Whoever we are, whoever you are, we welcome you. Whoever we are, we welcome you. Whoever you love, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zemer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Bonnie Harper, who's serving as our worship associate, our director of religious education, Karen Lapidus, our music director, Hal Walker, and many of our musicians, our Golden Tones Junior Choir, our Adult Peace Choir, Fallow Time Folk Orchestra, and some of the Tone Chimers as well. We're glad to be together today, and I'd like to extend a special welcome to those of you who are with us for the first time. We also have a special announcement this morning from our new greeter coordinators, Andrea Case and Jennifer Fissette.
Hi, I'm Andrea. This is Jen. We are now coordinating the greeter ministry. We're taking over from Marion Yeagler, who did a wonderful job. We have big shoes to fill, so hopefully the both of us can fill them together.
And to reiterate some things that Reverend Melissa just said, if you take a look at the thread from the web, there's a list of amazing greeters that greeted last year, and we would like to thank them for all of their service. And to celebrate and demonstrate our appreciation, this morning's coffee hour is in appreciation for them, so please join us. There's a full table of food down there, so we highly recommend that you come and get snacks after the service.
We wish that all of the people listed in the thread could continue to greet next year, but unfortunately many of them have to step down either for part of all of the year. So we are warmly inviting everyone to consider participating in the greeter ministry. It's definitely one of the easiest and best ways to get involved to serve the church community.
And I can certainly speak to that. I was new last year, and I got to learn a lot of people's names and faces. I go to 11:30 service, so I know more people there. But it is a really great way to get to know people. And some of the requirements that's expected of you is you're only to be here 20 to 30 minutes before service. Someone's to greet, as Deanne and Elaine were doing, by handing out the orders of service, to work at the visitor's table to give information about the UU, sometime ushering to allow to find seats, like this morning when it's really busy, and then also to collect donations during the offertory.
So again, currently we don't have enough people to cover next year, so we warmly invite anybody and everybody to come and sign up. Jen and I will be outside the service, both downstairs and in the Founders Lounge with sign-up sheets. You can be new, you can be a returning greeter, someone who knows a ton about the church and just wants to share your enthusiasm. Any of you are welcome to come and be a greeter, and we would really appreciate it, so thanks.
As is our tradition when we gather for multi-generational worship, we use the chalice lighting that's printed in your order of service. And if you know the motions, please use them with me. We light this chalice because we're Unitarian Universalists. This is the church of the open mind. This is the church of the helping hand. This is the church of the loving heart.
Walking through life is just not that easy. Trouble and sorrow come in with no reason. Same old in a world that's been broken. Don't you need a song? Don't you need a welcome? Welcome. With this moment of grace, come in, you're welcome. In this peace of this place, we say welcome. With these windows, in the light we share, oh, welcome. Through the morning and the night, these doors are open. Welcome, welcome. We come newborn with opening hearts. We are one love, and love never stops. We share one mood, one breath, and one moment. With thrown open arms, we welcome. Somehow all things will fall into beauty. Somehow the light comes and shines right through you and me. Almighty love has such its own unfolding. Just hold on to the ones you love and sing a never-ending welcome, welcome. Beyond politics and faith, come in, you're welcome. Beyond the walls of fears and shame, we say welcome. from mountain to valleys to oceans. We call on an unbounded welcome, welcome.
We come newborn with opening hearts. We are one love and love never stops. We share one moon, one breath and one moment. With all open arms we welcome.
First verse.
Walking through life is just not that easy. Trouble and sorrow come in with no reason. Same old, same old in a world that's been broken. Don't you need a song? Don't you need a
a promise to yourself. It's the promise we most often forget, or maybe it's better to say it's the promise we most often sacrifice. We are often so good at keeping our commitments to others, and yet fall flat on our face when it comes to commitments we make to ourselves. And if we can't keep our promises to ourselves, how will we ever be able to keep promises to each other? The commitments we make to ourselves serve as the foundation for the pledges we make to those around us. If we break our commitments to personal physical health, we sacrifice the strength to support others. If we cheat on our promises to personal spiritual health, we lose the ability to serve and see the needs greater than our own. Those who can't promise kindness and forgiveness to themselves are rarely able to extend kindness and forgiveness to others. Our monthly theme of promise honors this sacred interdependence between staying true to oneself and staying true to those around us. Come, let us worship together.
So who can tell me what a promise is? Who knows what a promise is? Oh, we're in trouble. No one knows. I know someone knows. Who knows what a promise is? Melody?
It's when you say something and you are expected to mean it.
When you say something and you are expected to mean it. Any other ideas? Sonis?
Promise is when you say you'll do something.
You say you'll do something and you do it. Well, I agree. It's a declaration of what will or will not happen. When you make a promise, you are stating that by your actions, you will make sure that something is done or something will not happen. And we all know that when a promise is made, it is not to be taken lightly. We do everything we can to keep that promise. If you make a promise, then you are responsible for keeping that promise. Making a promise is a big deal. And sometimes we communicate with our bodies to show that a promise has been made, like crossing our hearts. So try that. You say, I cross my heart, this is going to happen. Or you might do a pinky swear. Pinky swear with your neighbors. You might want to try that to seal your promise. You might also want to fist bump and say, yes, this is really going to happen. And a more formal way is to shake hands. We have shook on this promise, and it will happen. We make promises to each other all the time and all throughout our lives. We promise to do our homework without being nagged. We promise to be home by curfew. We promise to walk the dog every morning. We promise to pick up milk and bread on the way home. We promise to tell the truth. We promise to pay off a loan on time. We promise to be kind to our brothers and sisters. So now I'm going to ask you a personal question. Who here has made a promise and has kept it? Who's made a promise and has kept it? So tell me, how does it feel to keep a promise? Feels good?
Honorable.
Feels honorable.
Sometimes it's really hard, though.
Sometimes it's hard to fulfill a promise. That's true. Cameron?
I feel like I can do more things for people because they can trust that I'll do it.
Cameron says that he feels he can do more things with people because they'll trust that he'll do it. Now I'm going to ask you another personal question. I bet you know what it is. Who here has made a promise and then has broken it? I think that happens to everyone. Would anyone like to share what that feels like? What it feels like when you break a promise?
Guilty.
You feel disappointed. You feel shame.
You feel weak.
You feel weak.
I feel like I've let other people down, and I feel like I've let myself down.
You feel like you've let other people and yourself down.
I feel human.
Al feels human. Now, I firmly believe that following our feelings, our inherent wisdom, is a good way to determine how to act. So knowing that keeping our word and following through with our promises makes us, as well as our friends and families, feel better, I affirm that it is the right thing to do. To be people of promise, we recognize the power of a promise kept.
Now I invite you to join with me now in the spirit of prayer. This is a collaborative prayer. There will be a part for you to speak out if you wish. You'll know when it comes. Spirit of life and of love, spirit of mystery and wonder, we gather this morning remembering, knowing in our bones that joy and woe are woven fine. We come this morning carrying in our hearts the trials, sorrows, suffering of those close to home, people in our own families and our own communities. And we come this morning knowing that the world can be a difficult, challenging, painful place. So many places around the world right now, people are suffering. Indignities, hunger, homelessness, violence, and these places, these people are on our hearts and minds, and we pray for them. Helping hands and an opening where peace can be established. We come this morning remembering that joy and woe are woven fine, and that it's important for us to remember the joy in our life. The blessings, particular blessings, which lift up our own hearts. We call out now the people, the places, the experiences, the things for which we are grateful.
stand in the light of this room. These eyes are widening eyes, and I know this voice defines the cries of my soul. My heart is truly beginning to bloom. Love grows right now when I smile with you.
Promises today. Promises we make to ourselves. I want to tell you about a promise that I made to myself. And I want to tell you how it came into being. It came into being about 10 years ago when I was a theological school student. And I had a summer internship working as a hospital chaplain. It was full time. And not only was it unpaid, but I had to pay for it. So I needed a little money. I had to find a way to make a little money. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and she told me, oh, well, my parents go out of town the whole summer long, and they need someone to watch their house and their yard. And their house was not very far from the hospital I was working, so I thought that this would be a great opportunity for me. So I met them, learned about the job. It entailed going over there, you know, 3 times a week after work, checking to make sure that no one had, it's in the city, so no one had left litter on the front stoop, making sure the house hadn't been disturbed, and making, and, you know, taking care of the mail. And the most important job was watering this beautiful backyard that they had. It's kind of fancy house, kind of fancy yard, beautifully manicured backyard. So it seemed pretty easy, right? Great job for me. So I went throughout the summer, 3 times a week, and when I got there, the first thing I did was turn on the water for the backyard, and then I went and did my other tasks, and 20, 30 minutes later, I turned off the water and I left, and it seemed like all was going really well. Until one day toward the end of the summer, there were just a couple of weeks left, I went over and I noticed that this bush, which was kind of the centerpiece of their backyard, I don't know what it is, a big, beautiful bush, had dropped a ton of leaves on the ground. And I immediately thought, uh-oh, I must not have watered it enough. And so I did a quick calculation. I didn't know, 2 weeks. If the problem was that I didn't water it enough, if I gave it a really long soak right now, would it recover before they came back? So I adjusted the sprinkler so it would fall just on that big, beautiful bush, and realized that if it was going to work, then I had to do something about the fact that there were all these little leaves, little tiny leaves, all over their yard. So I got down on my hands and knees and started picking up all these little leaves from their yard, and me and the bush got really soaked. It didn't make a huge difference. By the time they came back, there were still, I couldn't get them all, there were still all these little leaves over their beautifully manicured yard, and this big, beautiful bush in the center of their yard was just less bushy. I didn't say anything to them about it. I was so embarrassed, and they didn't say anything to me. And I just walked away feeling badly about myself. I felt like I had failed. Over the course of the next year, as I was back in school, I began to notice a pattern in my life. I began to notice a pattern that this feeling of having failed was kind of familiar to me. This feeling of feeling badly about myself whenever something didn't go like exactly without a hitch was common to me. And one of my ministry mentors pointed out that this might be something that deserved some of my attention. You see, it was really easy for me to extend lots of latitude to other people who have made mistakes. Oh, you made a mistake? Of course you made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes, except me. Of course it doesn't work like that. And he suggested that maybe this tendency to judge myself by this double standard, other people can make mistakes, but I can't. Maybe that wasn't so good for my own spiritual life. And maybe that wasn't so good for my ability to connect with other people authentically in the reality that we all make mistakes, that we all fail sometimes, that we all fail to fulfill our promises sometimes, that we're all limited and can't do everything just perfectly all the time. And so I made a promise to myself that I was going to work on this. I was going to work on embracing the fact that I can't make everything turn out the way I want to all the time, even if I try hard. And not only that, I was going to try to embrace the fact that sometimes I just get it wrong, I just make mistakes, and try to figure out a way to give myself the same compassion when that happens that I give to other people. So I've been working on it for 10 years, and of course, I still have plenty of room to grow, and those feelings still creep up sometimes on my shoulders and start to weigh me down, but I've worked on it because I made a promise to myself, and it's something that I'm going to keep working on. And what I want to tell you today is that this promise came to my attention because of my religious and spiritual life. It was in church that I was invited to work on this, and it is in church that I have a place to practice. Now, it can take a lot of mindfulness, energy, and attention to keep the promises that we make to ourselves. And like you, I fail to follow through on my promises plenty of times. But I do think that being a part of a religious community can help us keep the promises that we want to make to ourselves. I'd like to suggest three challenges that I think church can help with. One is the challenge of time. Part of the reason that it's so hard to keep our promises to ourselves is because so many of us are so busy. We have so many things we need to do. Obligations to family, to work, to school, to sports, to clubs that we're a part of. And it can be very easy when time starts pressing in on us to let the promises we make to ourselves fall to the bottom of the pile. Coming to church, keeping Sabbath, taking time out of time to rebalance and find our center can help us create a sense of spaciousness. Church can help us with the challenge of time. Another challenge is the challenge of distraction. When life is hard and we're weary, and we know that there is a healthy choice that we could make that would help us fulfill our promises, or we could have a piece of cake, or watch television, or play a video game. Sometimes it's really hard to turn down the piece of cake. How many people know what I'm talking about? It's easy to get distracted by the easy temptations. By coming to church, we can remind ourselves what our values are, what our priorities are, what is most important in our life. And that can help us when the challenge of distraction arises. One other challenge is the challenge of preparation. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done this, I've done this, made a promise that I'm going to do some like grand thing that I haven't done any groundwork for. Like, for example, if you want to climb a mountain, a 14,000-foot mountain, you probably have to work out a little bit at home first so your lungs and your knees are up for the challenge. One of the things that church can help us with is being a part of a community who can know us, who can know us and know what our priorities and values are, and who can help us think about what kind of preparation we need in order to be able to achieve our goals. Time, distraction, preparation. Being a part of a religious community can help us face these challenges so that we can keep the promises we most want to make to ourselves. It's a blessing to be here today. It's good to be together. We invited you in June to consider doing something this summer, going someplace near or far to home that would refresh your spirit. And this morning, we come back together, and I hope you've had an opportunity for refreshment this summer. We asked you to bring some water or some earth with you from a place that you have been, where you felt alive, where you felt awake, where you felt whole, where you felt refreshed. If you didn't know about that, no fear, we have extra water for you. This can be symbolic, and extra soil too. In a few minutes, we'll invite you to come forward and pour some water into this bowl or this bowl. We have two sides, and pour some earth into these two bowls. But before you come, I invite you to think a moment about the moment of refreshment that you had this summer, the ways in which you were inspired this summer, and consider whether that inspiration calls you to do anything differently. Is there a promise you want to make to yourself about how you'll do something differently this fall? For example, if you had a moment this summer where you were inspired by the beauty of the earth, maybe you'd like to promise yourself today that you'll take a little time these next few weeks and months to go outside and enjoy the beauty of the earth.
Or if you've been inspired by music and art, you'll make a promise to yourself that you'll be more creative.
Or if you've been inspired by a promise of discovery, as I was at Summer Institute, and a stream that flowing one way today and was flowing a different way thousands of years ago. I want to explore the past and how it influences me.
In a moment, we'll invite you to come forward to place the waters and the earth of your refreshment in these bowls, and as you do, to think about whether there's a promise you'd like to make. And if there is, there are these little drops of water you can take as a reminder of your promise. And when you get back to your seat, you might even want to jot a couple words on it and stick it in your pocket to help you remember the promises you want to make. To the water from the lakes, rivers, ponds, streams, oceans where we have been this summer, we add the water of our community collected at this service last year. And to the earth from the parks, playgrounds, beaches, yards, gardens, vistas, mountains, where we have found refreshment this summer. We add the earth of this community gathered at this service last year. Our individual contributions represent our individual spiritual journeys, and we mingle them this morning in our common bowls to represent the gathered community we create here, a community created in love.
You may have heard the church described as a covenantal community, and it means, we know that community means a group of people that come together with shared values and shared goals, but what makes it a covenanted community are the promises we make to each other. One significant promise that we make is our mission statement, which includes words about our shared goals and purpose. We have promised to inspire people to live caring lives of meaning and purpose. And earlier in the worship service, we recited the 7 Unitarian Universalist principles. And these principles, in essence, are shared promises that Unitarian Universalists make to ourselves, to each other, and to the larger world. And when we say yes to volunteer roles in our church, we are making promises by fulfilling our many roles as board member, RE teacher, pancake flipper, any of the many roles we serve here. We are making and keeping promises. And as we begin our RE program next week, the children and their teachers will be co-creating a classroom covenant, a way that they will be together in community. When we welcome new members into our church, we make promises to them and they to us. And when babies and children are dedicated into our community, we make promises to their parents that we will nurture and support their journeys with us. And in fact, the water and the earth that you brought today will be used during our child dedications this year. We are all this morning a part of the promises made as we welcome our youngest people into our community. Our promises to each other bind us as a religious community.
Your little light is beautiful and precious. Let it shine, illuminate your own life, illuminate the lives of your family, your community. The world needs your light, so let it shine.